13th chapter of Revelation, and I'm going to deal with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In other words, I'm going to hop skip back and forth between the 13th chapter of Revelation and the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to do some correlating that I think you might find interesting. Let me see if I got this thing turned on. It says on. I think it does. Off, on, yeah. Revelation 24. The overcomer will not take the mark of the beast. Now, a lot of people don't believe anybody's going to stay here in the tribulation period, and I don't have any problem with that. That's not a question of fellowship or anything. But there are going to be some people here that are subject to taking that mark of the beast that say no. Revelation 24. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now, if that stopped right there, I could very well go back and associate that with the Old Testament saints that died as martyrs and the New Testament saints up to the present time that have died as martyrs. But it goes on. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, he's dealing specifically with this group of people. And he specifically applies what he says next to this group of people. If you apply it outside this group of people, you're assuming things, and you're taking advantage of the Scripture. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So is that to say that others won't? Absolutely not. But it's to say that they did for 1,000 years. Now, I want us to take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. These overcomers in Revelation 24 are going to recognize the Antichrist. They'll recognize him because they'll know that the mark of the beast is what the Bible says it is, and they will not take it at any cost. So these overcomers of Revelation 24 are definitely going to recognize the Antichrist when he's revealed. Now, I'm going to start off in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means. Now, if you consider the context that this lies in, there is no question that this is talking about what we call the coming of the Lord for the catching out of the saints, regardless of when you think it's going to occur. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Now, he flat says, it will not come except, he said, here's what's got to happen before that day comes, except there be a falling away first. In the last 10 years, some preachers have come out who have introduced a new concept to that. Never in the history of the Greek language, never has that word ever meant a catching out. Never. It has always meant apostasia, a falling away. He said, that day, the coming of the Lord, will not happen except there comes a falling away first. Now, for a lot of my early ministry and other preachers I've noticed that touch on this, say, why we're in this apostasia right now? Well, the falling away. I agree we are falling away. But I think this is going to be a massive, massive, sudden falling away that's very noticeable. Now, I want you to notice, he says, for that day shall not come except. He mentions two things that have to happen. There has to be a falling away from the faith. And this isn't going to just gradually happen. It's just going to be wham! And I'll show you why I believe that in just a moment. And, that is a conditional and. It links these two together. Two things have to happen before the day of the Lord comes. And that man of sin be revealed. Now, this God's word for revealed means to be completely exposed. It means like you've got a statue covered up. It's covered over with a huge drape. You cannot see the statue. All you can see is the drape over it. You pull a cord, and down comes the drape, and for the first time you look and you say, wow, what a statue. It's clearly recognizable as a statue, and if it's a statue of some individual and the sculptor is a good sculptor, well, it'll match the person. So that has to happen. Now, some say, oh, we'll never see the Antichrist. We will see the Antichrist because he has to be completely exposed. And I have a suspicion that this falling away and this revealing are tied together in a most unique way. The son of perdition. Now, he's called the son of perdition because this word means destruction. And it means that after he is revealed, he is going to be destroyed. And in the 19th chapter of Revelation, the last couple of verses, it clearly indicates that the Lord will destroy him at his coming. He will cast he and the false prophet into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So, this is the man of sin. Now, let's go over to Revelation 13, 1 through 3. Here comes this same man of sin, this same son of perdition, who's going to be revealed. Revelation 13, 1 through 3. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. That has to be the Mediterranean Sea, first of all, because that's where civilization rested at that time. That's where the Roman Empire had its main source of power. And John was on the Isle of Patmos. And so he sees a beast rise up out of the sea. The sea has to be the Mediterranean Sea. So this beast, this man of sin, this son of perdition, is coming from some country around the Mediterranean. He's coming from a country that is in that area. I don't believe he's coming out of Europe. Having seven heads and ten horns. Now the seven heads that are mentioned here are seven great world powers, governments, empires, that have afflicted Israel in the history of Israel from the time that God first called them out of Egypt, out from under Egyptian bondage. The first nation that afflicted and affected them was the Egyptian. The next that affected them was the Assyrian. The next that affected them was the Babylonian Empire, the lion of Nebuchadnezzar. The next was the Medo-Persian Empire. The next was the Macedonian Empire. The sixth was the Roman Empire. And out of the revived Roman Empire comes the seventh government. Now, all of these governments were infested with demonic worship, worship of idols, spiritual destitution, and they were guided toward a worship of the God of this earth. They were brilliant in their forms of government. Most of the court systems we have now and the administrative procedures we have in this country came down through these great empires. The ten horns are ten final nations that are going to rise out of the seventh empire of the Antichrist, which will come out of the area where the Roman Empire covered. And these ten horns are ten nations. I believe those ten nations stretch across the northern part of Africa and over into the Mideast. I believe they're nations like Morocco, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Turkey. Take your pick. There are all kind of countries that were part of the old Roman Empire that you could pick. Probably Sudan, too. Now, and upon his horns, ten crowns. The ten crowns are the kings, the last day rulers over these countries. And when a certain event happens, and when that event happens, that's when he's going to be revealed. That's when everybody is going to follow him, most people anyway, and that is when the falling away really hits bottom and it's extremely noticeable. Now, upon his heads, and remember there are seven, the name of blasphemy. I want you to notice this is singular. I want you to notice this is not blasphemies, it's blasphemy, it's singular. Apparently on his heads there is a single name. Now, it may be coincidence. I'm very confident about what I've told you up to now. I feel great surety about it. This I'm not all that sure about, but since the name is singular, and since blasphemy is singular, blasphemy is to speak injuriously against the Holy Spirit. And you cannot speak any more injuriously against the Holy Spirit than to claim to be the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. That is absolute, pure, sheer, unadulterated blasphemy. There are seven heads. I have a strong suspicion, but like I said, I could be wrong, that it is the word for Christ. This is the Greek word for Christ. K-R-I-S-T-O-S. Christos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. On each head, one letter, single name, but a letter on each head. And I think that is who the Antichrist is going to claim to be. And I think that most of them are going to accept it. Now, I know that seems kind of far-fetched, but before I'm finished, you'll see why I believe that to be the case. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. Now, John is writing this in 95-96 A.D. The sixth beast, the Roman Empire, is in full power. He is writing it under the sixth empire. The Antichrist Empire is still in the future. He goes back one empire to the Macedonian Empire, or Grecian Empire, of Alexander the Great, which Daniel pictures as a leopard. Then he goes back in time before that to the Medo-Persian Empire, which Daniel pictures as a bear. Then he goes back before that in time to the time of Daniel, and Daniel is writing in the time of the Babylonian Empire, and he goes back to the lion, which Daniel gave as a symbol of the Babylonian Empire. He does not go back any further except back to the book of Daniel and the time of Daniel's writings. That's why he doesn't mention the two before that. And the dragon gave him his power. He is energized by Satan. He is led by Satan. He is dominated by Satan and his seat and great authority. Now, Satan is identified as the great counterfeiter. And I don't know of a preacher or Sunday school teacher I haven't heard use that term to refer to him. And it's extremely accurate. Whatever God does, Satan always tries to imitate it. God sent his only begotten Son. His Holy Spirit convicts us that Jesus is his Son, and we worship the Father through the Son, Christ Jesus. Our Heavenly Father is surrendering up his power and his seat and authority to Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me," just before he gave us the Great Commission. The devil is going to do the same thing with this man, and this man is going to actually, as far as the world is concerned, suddenly be resurrected from the dead when he's killed by a weapon of war. That is what causes the tremendous falling away. It's going to be sharp and abrupt, because people all over this earth that don't know the difference, left foot from their right, if they see a resurrected man, you talk about an apostasia, you talk about a massive falling away in a short period of time, you'll have it. And that man of sin be revealed. I contend that his revealing is when he comes back from the dead, and that is when he is uncovered, and there is no question at this point that he's the Antichrist, because only one other man in history was ever resurrected by his own power, and that was Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 3, he says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death." The Antichrist is represented by the seventh head on the beast. When it says wounded to death, as it were, what the writer is saying, this wound that this beast had, it should have killed it. It should have died deader than a doornail. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said wounded to death. He would say, "I saw his heads as it were wounded." But it says wounded to death. Then he goes on and uses a descriptive adjective that leaves no doubt that this was a wound that would kill and should have killed. And his deadly. An adjective that describes wound. A deadly wound is a wound that kills. And his deadly wound was healed. He comes back to life. Now, this generation and all the generations before it, all the way back to Adam, have been looking for something from God that God is not prepared to give. They've been looking for something they could put their faith in, they can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, or experience. They followed Jesus as long as he gave them bread and things that were natural for their substance of their human existence. But the world is going to wonder after the beast. And the wonder here is an amazement. A man comes back to life from the dead. Now, Satan's a counterfeiter. And he's going to produce a resurrected man who's going to claim to be Christ. And I'll guarantee you the followers of the Islamic faith will accept it like you wouldn't believe. And it may also interest you to know that of the three different texts, Textus Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Laticanus, The Lateranus document, the oldest, one of the oldest, was in the Vatican. It doesn't even have the book of Revelation. The Catholics hate the book of Revelation. They don't even like to talk about it. Their priests don't even teach out of it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they don't know zip about this. And when this man comes back to life, you're going to have a false prophet that will identify him as having been a legitimate resurrection. Whether or not this is legitimate, I don't know. But I guarantee it's going to appear to be. And I guarantee you, that day will come because all of a sudden, when they see this resurrected man from the dead, he's going to tell them what it's like on the other side. And he's going to invite them to come and be a part of his kingdom. And if they'll put their faith in him, he'll promise when they die, they'll be in his kingdom. And they'll follow him like that. The falling away and the revelation are synonymous one with another. Now we're going back to 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, and 5. We've covered 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, correlated with Revelation 13, 1 and 3. Now let's go right back where we were in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, and let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4. What happens after he's resurrected from the dead? What happens after he comes back to life? Here it is. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This God-breathed word for temple is naos. The word that was always used for an absolute, unquestionable temple of mortar and stone was huiru. Paul used huiru twice. I believe he used the naos, which is the word translated temple here, about eight times. The other seven uses of naos are absolutely, positively not a temple of mortar and stone. If he meant a temple of mortar and stone here, it's the only place in the Bible that he used that word. This may mean that he attempts to set himself as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is sitting in the temple of God in heaven, and invites them to be a part of his kingdom, and he may be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He may be preaching that the kingdom of God has come, and he is the returned Messiah. In order to get such a dramatic falling away and a dramatic revealing where there's no question who he is, I think it's going to require resurrection. Now, Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now, we're going to come back in just a few moments to 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, and 5. And we'll go on with verse 6. Remember Paul's last statement. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Revelation 13, 4 and 6. Now, we had Revelation 13, 1 through 3. Now we're going to go over to Revelation 13, 4 through 6. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. How do we worship our Heavenly Father? We worship our Heavenly Father through the Son, who is our advocate, our intercessor with God the Father. Once this man is resurrected from the dead, he will be indwelt by the very spirit of Satan. The world won't know that, but they'll be worshiping this man, and in so worshiping this man, they will be worshiping the dragon, if you will, the father of evil, Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast. They worship the beast, and in so doing, worship his father. And they worship the beast. Now notice, this man has been resurrected from the dead. And they are amazed. Notice what they say. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He's killed by a weapon of war, and he comes back to life. How do you make war with a man like that? Is there anyone on the earth like him? No. The only man who was ever resurrected from the dead by his own power was Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters in Christ, this man is going to claim to be the true Messiah. And when that resurrection is carried out, so everybody can see it, the world's going to follow him. The falling away will be immediate, and he will be completely exposed. And anyone who knows the scriptures and anyone who has Christ living inside him won't have to wonder about who he is. This is going to be an interesting man, and this is going to be an interesting time. Everybody keeps waiting for a slow, gradual phase in. Friend, when this happens, it's going to be bam! And all of a sudden, it's going to be abrupt, and everybody's going to get shocked. Because these changes with a man resurrected from the dead are going to be abrupt, sudden, and the world's going to be taken quite by surprise. Now, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, here, he's completely revealed. He speaks great things, claiming to be the living Son of God, having returned. He blasphemes everything there is about the person of Christ, and he speaks a whole row of lines of blasphemy. He speaks injuriously, in the plural, against God. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, this is a very important key. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That tells me something. That tells me about when the resurrection is going to occur. Because if you go back up here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's revealed when the apparent resurrection occurs. That's got to occur before the day comes. So he is revealed. Then shortly after that, the day comes. And then how long is it after that? He has power to continue 42 months. Now, I can't tell you for sure how long after he's revealed that the rapture occurs. He's resurrected. Some of the people have to have the mark put on them. You saw Revelation 24. A period of time has to pass. In the middle of the tribulation period, he's resurrected from the dead. He continues for 42 months. Okay, when he's resurrected from the dead, the falling away is rapid. He's completely revealed. Now, how long is it from there to the time of the day of the Lord? There has to be a time interval. I don't know how long it will be. All I know is it says, that day shall not come. It indicates that it will come after that happens, but this happens in the middle of the week. That's one of the reasons I'm so certain we're going to be here at least till the middle of the week, and I think until sometime after. Now, notice verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. How do you blaspheme the tabernacle? I've taught on this ever since I've been here. What is the tabernacle? Everything in that tabernacle is a picture of God's promise of a Messiah, a deliverer. This man is going to claim to be that man and to fulfill those pictures and types, and the Catholics in Europe are going to accept him. The whole Islamic faith is going to accept him, and there aren't going to be a lot of people that don't accept him. But you know the truth, and you won't accept him. But his revealing is not just some casual thing where you suspect he's the Antichrist. When he comes back from the dead, you'll know who it is, and there won't be any question. Well, we had gotten over to, let's go on now into 2 Thessalonians. Okay, we're back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're picking up at verses 6 through 8. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What are we talking about? He is the Antichrist. Might be revealed in his time. What did he say? He said, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Now you know what withholdeth. What's holding him back? What's stopping him? The Holy Spirit. I believe the devil has tried to bring in several different antichrists. I believe he's tried to push it ahead of time. But in each case, he's failed miserably. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Let's go back and look at that previous sheet for just a minute. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Now get this. Except there come a falling away first. What is the falling away? The God-breathed word is apostasia. It's a falling away from the faith. What is stopping that falling away from the faith? The Holy Spirit of God. And he's all that's keeping us in a reasonable, civilized world that's rapidly deteriorating. But this is talking about the falling away. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit holding that falling away back. That's why I underlined that in black. I'm a synoptic analyst, and quite frankly, I'm amazed at the way God has inspired the scriptures. I'm amazed at the way they fit. And now you know what withholdeth. What withholdeth what? The falling away. That he, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. God has held back this apostasia by his Spirit and will continue to. But when it's time for the Antichrist, then God is going to step back out of the way. You say, well, is it the Holy Spirit? Well, God is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to just step back out of the way. He's not, the Holy Spirit's omnipresent. He can't just disappear, but he's just going to stop. He's going to stop convicting, and you're going to start to have the power of the devil infiltrating this world like it has never infiltrated it before. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. It was already at work when Paul wrote this. And the only one who was holding it back was the Spirit of God. And Paul said, only he who now letteth will let. He said, the Spirit is going to let this be held back, this apostasia, until he be taken out of the way. When it's time, the same Spirit that wrote this prophecy will step to one side, and the devil and his spirit and the false prophet and the beast will have a field day. And you're going to have one huge, great group of people, millions, believing that the Antichrist is the true Messiah. Now, and then, shall that wicked be revealed. This is interesting. For years, this bothered me. Big capital W. Everybody assumes that that's the beast. Same one. It may be. But I've got a sneaky suspicion that since he just refers up here to this mystery of iniquity, well, what's causing it? The unholy spirit of Satan. Who's holding back his unholy spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. Who's going to come in with a rush and identify to the world Catholic churches that this man is truly the Messiah returned, the false prophet? And then shall that wicked, the false prophet, be revealed, fully exposed. How are you going to spot him? He's the one who's going to identify the Antichrist as the true Christ. And he's the one who's going to stand up and say, yes, this is a resurrection. Yes, this is the man. You say, well, brother, I'll tell you, people in this country wouldn't believe it, but I guarantee you the Catholics in Europe would. They don't know anything about the book of Revelation. They don't know anything about the mark. They know nothing. And I guarantee you, this could well be the false prophet. First, the Antichrist is the resurrection. Then you want to know who the false prophet is? He's that world leader that stands up and says, that man is the true Messiah, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Notice, with the spirit of his mouth. The false prophet represents the spirit. The beast represents the son, and the dragon represents the father. It's the unholy trinity. Son, beast. Spirit, unholy spirit of the false prophet. Satan's counterfeit attempt. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When the Lord returns, he's going to destroy him with the spirit of his mouth. This is a spiritual battle. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's going to do that to both the beast, the first beast, and the second beast, the false prophet. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. I think that's who that is. That wrought miracles before him. Notice, he's a miracle worker. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, let's go back to Revelation, the 13th chapter, and let's take a continuation in that chapter of the beast. But this is the false prophet. And I beheld another beast. I contend he's that wicked one. The false prophet. Coming up out of the earth, and he is revealed, fully exposed, after the Antichrist, because everybody knows who the Antichrist is that has the Spirit of Christ in him when he is resurrected from the dead. And everybody will recognize who the false prophet is, because the false prophet will be the world religious leader that identifies him as the Messiah. And I beheld another beast, the false prophet, Revelation 13, 11 through 14, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. He was indwelt by the power of Satan. Christ, Paul said of him, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of Satan will indwell this resurrected man bodily. And he'll be Satan incarnate in human flesh. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Look here. And causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship. Let's go back to the beginning. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The Antichrist is resurrected from the dead. That way you know who he is. Instantly a falling away occurs on a massive scale, an ever-accelerating scale. Why? Because right after his resurrection, this false prophet says, he's the one. And he causeth the earth and them to dwell therein to worship. That's the apostasia. That's what the Lord's been holding back by his spirit all this time. Which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound, a deadly wound is a wound that killed, was killed. That's what he uses. A resurrected man, and he won't have a bit of trouble getting the world to worship if they aren't true believers. And he doeth great wonders. He's a miracle worker. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And now, here's the deceiving part. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He deceives them by the resurrection of this man. And he's able to do miracles to prove that he is from God. And they believe that this is Elijah, the second John the Baptist. But it isn't. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through whatever. Even him, the false prophet, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. The unholy spirit of Satan indwells both the false prophet and the beast. And he is the unholy spirit that leads men to believe in the greatest falling away that's ever occurred in such a short period of time, that truly this man is the Christ resurrected from the dead. And with all deceivable of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now notice, remember back up here? He said, and then he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit steps to one side, stops convicting. When that happens, the world follows him, except the true believers who have already been saved at that point. Now I want you to notice what it says. And for this cause, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. When the world begins to follow the Antichrist for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion if they should believe a lie. God himself will send a delusion, and they're going to believe this man is the Messiah. He's going to send them a strong delusion. What is a strong delusion? What is it that we believe in for our salvation? The life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you go through the scriptures and you determine this very quickly. If there is no resurrection, there is no God, and the word of God is not true. And if there is no resurrection of Christ, there is no salvation. The strongest sign that God ever gave us, Jesus said, there shall be no sign given to this generation save that of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is what we believe in. And as his life is still existing, he saves us and keeps us by his power. That's the strong delusion. And the lie that they believe is that this man is from God and that he can give them that life and he'll give them everything that Jesus wouldn't. Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead, did it in secret. Not one single human being saw him resurrected from the dead. Not one. They saw what was there after there on the clothes laying there, the napkins. They didn't see him resurrected from the dead. The world's going to see this man resurrected from the dead probably on television. And it's what they've always wanted. And he's going to promise them, look, we're having all kind of trouble. We're having all kind of problems. All these earthquakes, all these famines, all these pestilences. The world is in a mess. Follow me as the Messiah and I'll bring the world into the millennial reign. And they'll follow him. They'll be very religious. Guess who they're going to kill off like flies? Us crazy ones who still believe that the Messiah is Jesus Christ and is yet to come. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. I've looked at this thing for years. I never could understand it had come in gradually. I never could understand how would it be possible for people to it has to be a resurrection. And this man has to be resurrected from the dead. Whether it's a genuine resurrection or not, I don't know. But I guarantee you the world will think it is. And God will send a delusion to them that they will believe it is because they would not receive the love of the truth. So it's now 10 minutes to late. I got it all in, so you can shut her down. But I'm not one of those people that wonder all the time if I'll be able to spot him. I'll know him, and you'll know him. Say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you just wait. When he gets resurrected, I'll say, there he is. Because that's the sign that he's going to